Anybody here this morning love God?
Amen.
I love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Believe in the Word of God?
Amen.
All right. Fantastic. This message must be for you then. Amen.
Cool.
You know, I know we see a lot going on anymore in this world, and we see it getting uglier and uglier and uglier. But God hasn't changed any. Jesus Christ is still Jesus Christ. He is still the Messiah. Okay? But a time is coming, and it probably really is already here. The Word of God says that He will send a great delusion among the people. Did you know that? He is going to send a great delusion among the people. He's finally going to say, okay, that's it. That's what you want. Believe that. So this is what God has for you this morning. Check yourself this morning. Don't sit there this morning and say, well, I got baptized 40 years ago. I'm okay. Listen. Listen to the message. Check yourself this morning. Please, God loves us. He's coming back very soon for His church. But the day has finally come that no longer can you or me sit on the fence trying to decide if we want to commit our entire life to the Lord or want to stay living in the ways of the world. And no choice is a choice that is a choice, which meaning you're not following Christ. Listen up, church. If you're a born-again believer, you're to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? And I'm not using the word Christian right now because people call themselves a Christian who come and sit into a church, but they never follow the Master. Okay? So we're talking about following Jesus Christ. And no longer sitting on the fence is permissible. Because if you're sitting on the fence, it's going to cost you everything you have. And when I'm talking about sitting on the fence, I'm saying that you're a follower of Christ, but you don't let Jesus into this part of your life. Okay? You give Him Sunday mornings, but your vocabulary that you're using, your conversations that you're having, they don't belong to the Master, they belong to the devil. Well, if that's true, then Christ is not in control of your life. Don't be deceived by the world. The world says, hey, if it feels good, do it. The world will try to convince you, man, that, hey, it's different now. The Christ is different now. But He isn't. He is still the same. And to be the follower of the Master is to have your life completely committed to Him and not holding anything back from your thought process. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. The conversations to one another. Oh, to brothers and sisters in the Lord. It should be fantastic. The world. Oh, the world has all type of stuff going on out there. But man, that the line is drawn, or I use the word defense, you have to be totally on the side of the Master. Or this delusion that shall be sent shall suck you up. And that's not your pastor telling you. I'm sharing with you the Word of God. He wants us to love one another. Have you ever heard that before? Love one another. Completely love. And not let the thing in the world to get control of us. You know, some ways that we sit... Can't find a chair to sit on. That's okay. Some way we sit on the fence is when you're watching the shows that you watch. You're watching these TV shows that 50 years ago would have been banned. And you're biting it in. I asked you today, would you invite a robber, a murderer, into your house to spend the night? Would you invite Satan himself to come in and watch your kids tonight? Come on now, come on. We just got paid, man. We ain't been out for a long time. Let's just turn on the TV set. The kids be occupied for 4 or 5 hours. We can go have dinner. Come on, woman. And what you're doing, you're sitting your children right down in front of Satan himself. Who controls the airways? Satan. If you're putting your children or yourself in front of television shows that is taking sin and glorifying for entertainment, you're on the fence. That stuff is getting pumped into you. And it's really having an influence on how you make decisions. It's making the influence on how you love one another. Because when we watch some of the stuff on TV, we realize, oh, well, no one really keeps their word. Everybody does this. It's okay to lie. Man, there's a show on television one time called The Liars Club. Young girls, this one? Pretty Little Liars, is that what it was? Okay. How do you know that, woman? I'll see you at this altar today. Yeah. But folks, we use it as entertainment. We'll buy these games for our kids to play. What are they doing? They're killing, shooting each other. If you're doing that, you're sitting on the fence. You have not committed your life to the Lord completely. You're not following the Master. He said, get off the fence. I need you now. Like never before, He needs us to live a life that represents Jesus Christ more than ever. Because the world is looking for something that is real. They're trying to find something that someone really is committed to. And Jesus, God Himself, has decided that you and I, that He could trust us with the souls around us by allowing us to live in this time and this age. That we can represent Him, the Master, like the disciples did 2,000 years ago, and live a life that's pleasing to God and show love to this world. Oh man, I'm telling you what, God loves, He got so many things that He wants to do through His church, guys. But He's just saying this morning, hey, wake up. Wake up. Check yourself. What is that? What's that in your life today that you've been compromising? And you really feel bad about it? Well, great. Well, now it's time to quit feeling bad about it and just get away from it. Get back to the Lord completely. You know, we need each other. Amen? Amen. We need each other today as never before. Satan wants to destroy the church. Right, Kathy? And we are the church. He'll do whatever he can. And man, Joe, if you can't love me, who can you love? Now, I don't mean me personally, okay? But I'm talking about if we can't love one another. Hi. We're going to squabble among ourselves as the church of Christ? Woo! No. The best thing to do, best way to get out of a family, is start turmoil. You know that? And we're a family of God here. And the family of God extends out to other churches who preach in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Try to get turmoil. Satan will do whatever he can. Oh, don't go down to that church. They don't wear neckties. Don't go to that church. They wear neckties. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Same like that. We need each other more today than ever, ever before. Because God needs us. The world needs us. Our children needs us. You know, it's just, you know, I know, I've said it before, 50 years ago, man, I see the vision of the white picket fence around the church, the smile of chicken cooking after the service. You know what I'm saying? We sit there and it's peaceful and just, Today isn't that day anymore. Today we've been called in combat into a war, a spiritual war. And I think the reason why it's so great today, because Fred, 50 years ago, they sat down. They ate chicken after every meal, okay? They weren't into prayer. They weren't into battling the evil. What's in the world today? They said, man, look at the thing, how it's escalating today. Escalating. But we need one another. We need to let little, any petty things that might be going on, we need to put it to side, because I'll tell you what, Satan wants to destroy us. God wants to live through us. So we have to decide, okay, God, I want all that you have for me. I want to show you just a short video this morning. I showed it Friday night. Some of you might know Friday night. But it just shows where, when the church started 2,000 years ago, and now where we're at today, we're going to experience the same thing. And God, He wants us to be so real with Him, so true to His Word, to be a follower of Christ, because it's not just you, Vicky, that's dependent upon it, but those coming behind you, those who are watching you. You know, folks, we preach, we live a gospel better than we ever preach one. People are watching us. They're looking at us. And they need something out there in that world. And that's Jesus Christ. So we need to do all that we can, surrender all to the Master. I know it's hard at times. It's hard to get away from some things they've been involved in. But Jesus Christ will give you the strength and He'll give you the way. He gave you His blood, His name. He'll give you everything you need to get out.
Amen.
Away from that sin, that thing that's tormenting you. All we have to do is lean on Him. Amen? Just give me a second here. I'll put this together. Some of you might have seen it before, but just... I want to share it here. When I watch it, it makes me really line up a lot of things that you think is important today, and you're complaining about, you're arguing about, you're not talking to this person about or this person. In the long run, it has nothing to do with anything. To look what the world, what God wants us to do in the world today. My great video assistant's here. If I ever got my wife a name tag, it'd be like 14 miles long. My video assistant, my praise and worship team, my secretary, my accountant. Not to mention my wife.
Has it always been this way?
Can you see it?
Well, even from the beginning, men hated Jesus. Even though He did nothing but love them and teach them and heal them, they nailed Him to a cross. They thought they had killed Him, but they only set Him free to live in the hearts of people like you and me who believe in Him. Then came the apostles, and most of them were killed for telling other people about Jesus. But by that time, it was too late. There were hundreds of people who believed in Jesus. So they tortured them and killed them, and they even left their bodies to rot as an example to other people. But the church kept right on growing, watered by the blood of these precious saints.
But Dad, did they want to die?
No. They didn't want to die. I mean, many of them had children just like you that they had to leave behind. But they were forced to make a choice. I mean, they could choose to live this one life here on earth and reject Jesus and be damned. Or they could choose to believe in the words of Jesus and live forever.
I think I understand.
Here, maybe this will help you understand.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne, and they were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God, they would not deny. The great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring.
I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands.
And the years have gone, but the cause of Jesus still goes on. And now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace a cross. And one by one, let us live our life for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say,
I pledge allegiance.
I will seek to honor His coming. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
You've got to remember that it wasn't always this way. I mean, my dad could even pray in school. Of course, they took that away from him, and then it became incorrect for us to believe in the Bible. And after that, they just stripped our right to worship away from us, and we quietly stood by. But son, I hope that you're never put in a position that you have to choose between your faith and your life. But if you are, I know which choice you're going to make. Because I know that Jesus lives inside of you. In the meantime, just pray like I taught you how to. And take care of your mom. And remember that God is the Father of the fathers.
That is it shows you what the scripture is talking about, okay? What you saw was real. From the very beginning, people were stoned to death for Jesus Christ, persecuted. And then today, here we are again. We're getting right back into the same thing. So what God says today, are you real? Are you truly following Jesus Christ? Because it will cost you your life if you're following Him. It might cost you physically completely. But I ask you this. Remember the father in the jail cell? Remember that? The rest are getting waiting to be executed. I wonder if the night before him and his wife argued because the dishes weren't done. I wonder if they got upset over a little petty things. I wonder if the night before he talked to maybe his brother, oh, I ain't going to talk to you no more. I ain't talking to you no more. You parked my parking spot. And you're sitting in my chair. I made lasagna. No one told me it tastes good. But listen up, church. We can't allow that. That's what Satan will try to do. He will try to separate. Of all the things in the world, is it worth it? The things that's heavy on your heart this morning, the things that you're rejecting the love of Christ to get involved in it. Is it worth it? The aggravation that you're going through? Time is short. The Master's coming back. This could happen today. Someone might come in the door today and take me out of here. I might be arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, 30 years ago, you thought it never happened. But today, boom, one strike of the pen, boom. It's taking place. They're even suppressing some of the messages that some preachers are preaching anymore in some communities. They call it hate speech because you share the love of God. But I'm sorry, Joe, if you're a liar and you continue to lie, you will not see the kingdom of God. But He loves you. He wants you to repent from that and come to Him. Now, is that hate or love?
Love.
Amen. That's love. But the world is trying to show us that it's hate. Hey, I won't pick on you today. Listen, you quit stealing.
Everybody else is?
Well, you're marking down your time card at work that you're working 8 hours a day and you're only working seven. You're goofing off an hour. That's lying and that is stealing. Everybody else says, that's okay. But you're going to follow a master? You follow him correctly. See what it is, guys? It's everything. Just not the stuff that you can get caught at. Remember, he says that everything that's done in darkness someday will be brought into the light. Woo! And everything is whispered. Be shouted from the rooftops. Or may I say it this way? It'll be posted on Facebook. Because what happened was, in the old days, the housetops was how you got, you know, that's the communications. I have an announcement, please. Joe and Kathy celebrate an anniversary. We have a party tonight. That's how they get the news out. So, anything that you're doing in secret isn't it past God. He wants to help you with it. He wants you to get out of your life. He wants you to be off the fence and with Him. But He wants His loved one. And Florida kid, come here a second. I'm going to embarrass my Florida kid here. Friend of mine.
This is the first time I follow directions all
day. There you go. You did fantastic. Yeah. Listen, my brother in the Lord lives in Florida. Okay? I'm not around that much. But he's my brother in the Lord. I trust him with my life. I trust him with my life, my family's life, the life here. If he tells me something, I'm going to say, okay, there's something good in this thing for me. What is it? Okay? I'm not going to reject him. I'm going to listen to him. He's my brother in the Lord. I know he only wants the best for me. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what Satan will say, well, listen, he's just saying that to you because, well, you live in Ohio. And he don't like the Buckeyes. So Satan will find a way to try to separate brothers and sisters in the Lord from being yoked together because he knows there's power when we come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons tremble when we get together and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and we praise Him.
Yes.
But the Master tells us that a house divided shall not stand. So if you've got Satan on one side of you and you've got Jesus on the other, you shall not stand for the Lord. So get it out today. Today is your reckoning call. Today is okay. It's time. Get off the fence. Follow the Lord. Or suffer the consequences. Maybe sitting here today and say, well, God understands. He knows why I do what I do. He knows why I live this way. Well, He knows why you live that way. But He's telling you also that He knows why He sent His blood, Jesus, His blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. To give you strength to overcome every sickness, every disease, every sin that attacks your body. Every sin. He's given you the strength to overcome it. Do you want the Master? Do you want to be a follower of Jesus? Yes! It'll cost you everything. Your thought process, your TV, everything you have, what you watch. But it might cost you your physical life. Remember that. And God wants us to be prepared. And to love one another and trust one another, brother. Thanks for coming up, man. I love you too. You know, in the bulletin today, if you have one, I'm going to read it to you. And I'm pretty sure I got the right verses in it this time. But I share it here, as God and I was talking last night, so I looked around the world this week. What keeps coming back to my mind are the words that the Master shared with us in John 15:12. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And in John 15:17, again he says, "This I command you, that you love one another." Now, He gave us a commandment as followers of His that we have to love one another. So if He made it a commandment, then you know He takes it pretty serious, right? And as a commandment, you know He'll give us the strength and ability to do that. To love one another. Sometimes it means putting down our own desires for other people. Yeah. My wife and I have been married 40 years, okay? Through love, almost 40 years. I know. But to love one another means to put each other first. To put down, I might have a right for this, but I love my wife. Maybe that's going to interfere what I want to do today with her day. So I put her first. Honor her. And then what she does, the same thing to me. Honor me for the Lord. And we need to do that for one another. I don't know, he's just heavy on this. He doesn't want bickering among his children. Amen. Anybody got kids?
No.
You ever have them come together bickering? Because they're human, yes. And so you try to find that resolution, okay? Well, God the same way as we are His children through one, you know, John 1:12 says, if we come to Christ, we become children of God. He doesn't want to hear His children bickering. He wants us to find resolution. You know?
Yep.
Isn't it a blessing when your children come together and say, okay, we got to figure it out.
Yep.
And none of them is bleeding. Okay? God's the same way, but He wants us to love one another. In that comment, Jesus is talking to His followers, His disciples. Yes, He's talking to us. Love is so important for a follower of Christ. You might say, why is it so important? Because love is a sign that the Spirit of the living God is in us. 1 John 4:20 states, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That is one of the fruits right there, to love one another. To love. John 13:35, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love for one another. You know, it's... we are to be a witness to the world. Our God is love. And as a born-again Christian, that Spirit of the living God, which is love, comes into us. What more truer of a testament of a Christian than to have love for his brothers and sisters in the Lord? Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So let us love each other and turn our fight against the enemy of the cross through our prayers together. We need to be spending our time praying against these powers and principalities, against what Satan's trying to do here. That's what we need to do. And he wants us to love one another. You might be sitting there, well, I love everybody. Okay. God says, if you love me, what does he say? Christ, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will honor him. And all that you do, all that you speak, all that you say, wherever you go, he wants to be in the center of your life. He wants to love through you, Levay, to me. You know that?
Yeah.
He does. And he wants to love Kathy through me. And vice versa. We are his body, we're his hands, and we are his feet. But a time is coming, and it's coming very soon, that a great delusion shall be brought upon the world. And those who reject Jesus Christ, boom, they'll be away from him forever. Share a couple of these scriptures with you, please. And don't write this off saying, well, I'm okay, Pastor. Well, somebody here must not be okay because he put this on my heart to share. And I'm listening myself because we all can learn. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And to me it really makes it clear that God's sending a strong delusion in the end times. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, so they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Okay? For those who refuse to believe the truth but have taken delightment in wickedness. Simply put it, God sends a strong delusion to those who choose not to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who take delight in mocking and rejecting Him, He will condemn. Now, there's people out there that don't mock God. They just want nothing to do with God. But see how serious this is? These are the ones who are mocking Him, rejecting Him, making fun of people who are. I mean, this is really, really getting down to the nitty gritty. Now, God doesn't want anybody to perish, right? He wants us all to come to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and escape the flames of hell. But some will never choose to follow Jesus. In 1 John 5:3, Jesus tells us, this is love for God, to obey His commandments. To obey His commandments. It doesn't say to study His commandments, to be able to quote the Bible front ways and back ways, but He says to obey His commandments. Hear me, church? It is to obey. To follow Him. In Romans 1:18, He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So the wrath of God is coming, and we see it coming upon America. Can we not? We see it coming today. Because the truth, they're changing the truth. I mean, you can't change the truth, because truth is always truth. But they're calling the truth a lie, and they're calling lies being the truth. And what they're doing is that they're allowing wickedness to take over the United States. That's bringing the wrath of God. You hear me, church? It's bringing the wrath of God. You know, there's no more dangerous condition for a man than to know the truth and refuse to obey. So there's nothing worse for you to know the truth, but you refuse to obey it. That's worse than not knowing the truth and not obeying. So when you know it, when you know what the Word of God says, when you know what He says to do, and you don't do it, that's worse. Now, are you there today? Are you doing things today that you know the Master said not to do, God said don't do? Are you lying, cheating, stealing, gossiping? Are you doing all these stuff that He says don't do? You know not to do it, but you just can't help yourself? Well, you can't help yourself. But it is to refuse to obey Him. That is terrible for him. To do so is to harden the heart and makes God's condemnation for sure. When one knows the truth and refuses to obey it, he is subject to any lie, any deception, any untruth that man can conjure up. He says in Romans 1:21, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were hardened. Or darken. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. So they knew God. So you know God here. But if we don't glorify Him in our life, if we don't give Him total access to our life completely, and give Him thanks for it, man, our heart to be hardened. Again, it goes back, do not be sitting on the fence. Do not try to wake up your mind whether you're going to follow Christ completely or not. It's total commitment to Him. In Romans 1:28, He tells us, because of the foolishness of men, that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And in verse 32, He says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, very things, but also approve of those who practice things. So he's not saying, he's just saying that they're doing bad things, but they give approval for those who do it. They encourage people who are doing it. Wow. So to know that something is sin, you know it is. And my brother here does it. Yeah, come on, Randy. Go ahead and do it, buddy. Go ahead. Come on. Everybody's doing it. Okay? Wow. How bad is it? It's still sin for him. But how bad is it for me? It's worse upon me. And I won't go into detail, but remember, there's three different levels of hell. And if I know the truth, I encourage someone to sin, man, my punishment is going to be greater for eternity than the one who does the sin. The first part of the sin. We have to take responsibility. And I don't think I have any money. I got an illustration here. Anybody got a couple of bucks on them? Anybody? Brother Guy, I'm going to borrow you again. Do you mind coming down?
Were you working out this morning?
I know.
I thought he was.
I need a dollar bill. Thank you. That's great. Okay. Yeah.
A couple of bucks, all right. I'll catch him out.
But to take responsibility as a follower of Christ, that means to speak up. That means to share the truth, even at times when it's not favorable to do. But we have to take responsibility. We have to inquire. Now, I get the illustration. I did it Friday night, and I had more money Friday night. Sorry, buddy.
A buck?
But that's all I got is a buck, okay? But brother, Glenn's going back to Florida here, okay? But in order for him to get to Florida, let's go back the way he did it Friday night. He's going to go to Washington, D.C. Glenn wants to go to Washington, D.C. And in order to get there, he needs $1,000. And he comes to me. He says, Starkey, I need to go to Florida. Or I need to go to... Where are you going to go again?
D.C.
You're going to go to D.C. But in order for me to get there, I need what you have. I need $1,000. If you don't give it to me, I cannot get to Washington, D.C. I need it. Well, he don't look too bad. He's got a smile on his face. Okay. So I give him $1,000. Go ahead, buddy.
Thank you.
And he goes to Washington, D.C. And next morning I find out he went down to Washington, D.C. and he killed 1,000 people. The only way he could have got down there was by me. If I did not give him that $1,000, he could have went down there and killed 1,000 people. Couldn't have. Wow. What do you think I would feel like? I'd feel bad, wouldn't I? Now, do you think I'm held liable for that?
Yes.
Would I be held liable that I gave him money to go down to Washington? Can't even say it no, right? No.
You didn't tell him to do what he did.
No. He just told me he needed $1,000 to get to Washington, D.C. And I thought, well, he looked like a pretty decent fellow, you know. I think I can trust him. You know, So I gave him $1,000. And because of me sending you to Washington, D.C., 1,000 people are dead today. I feel terrible about it. Same scenario. Can I get my dollar back?
He's getting worried. Wallet out already.
I want the 1,000.
The same thing now. He comes to me. He says, man, I want to go to Washington, D.C. I need to get there. And the way I can get to it is if you give me $1,000. You're my last hope. If you don't send me to Washington, D.C., I cannot get down there and do what I want to do. Here I am. I have $1,000. I can send him. Well, wait. Glenn. What do you want to go to Washington, D.C. for? And he tells me, well, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to kill 1,000 people. Now, this time it's different, right? First time I had no idea what he's gone down there for. But now he said, listen, the only way I can get to Washington, D.C. is if you send me. And I need $1,000. And when I get down there, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to kill 1,000 people. But, he says, when I come back, I'll give you $2,000. Yeah, here.
Make a profit, huh?
Just gave him $1,000. He goes to Washington, D.C., and he kills 1,000 people. Now I ask you, jury, am I guilty?
Yes. Yes.
Why am I guilty? Ah, because I had knowledge up front, knowing what he's going to do. He told me what he'll do when he gets to Washington, D.C., but I don't care. He looks good to me. I like the way he wears his hair. I'm going to send him anyway, okay? Boom.
You want money.
But cuss both ways, I'm going to leave you this thought. Don't leave me yet, okay? This is a two-edged sword here today, okay? Number one, Satan tells you, God tells right up front, that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't hide that from us. The master tells us up front, Satan has one, sin has one thing in his life for you, and that is to destroy you. Okay? So, when you invite sin into your life, when you join it with sin, and it comes to destroy you, who can you blame?
Yourself.
Amen. We can. But, since Christ died on the cross, He gives us the power and authority and ability through His blood to turn away from that sin. We know the ways of the devil. Now, have you ever fallen in sin before? We all fall in sin. We didn't recognize it, but how did I get there? Okay. Now, when the temptation comes around again, you don't have to step back into it, do you? You have the knowledge. But if the same temptation comes back to you, same sin comes back to you, Joe, and you say, well, I know I shouldn't, but boom. You step right back in that sin. You're responsible again, right? Not saying the master won't bail you out, but you're responsible. And as we continue to pray till November for the upcoming election, listen to me, church. You need to be praying that God will raise up someone that will honor His Word. Okay? Whether male, female, black, white, Hispanic, okay? But listen. Listen, don't shut down. I've heard people saying, well, I'm voting for her because she's a woman. I'm voting for him because I don't want a woman in office. Come on. We have to get beyond that. Hear me, church?
Yes.
Look at him and see. Let God lead you. Let the Holy Spirit show you who can God work with. Because we are responsible. Understand that. If my brother here is actually running for president of the United States, and he tells me that, yes, send me into office, and I will continue to uphold the abortion law of the United States of America, I'll continue to authorize murder, and you say, well, I know, but well, yeah, I'm going to send him anyway because he's going to give me this or that. Folks, it's no different than me sending him down there to wipe out 1,000 people. Okay, we think there's less in life because the babies aren't out of the womb yet. Okay, we are their voice. We need to. So we need to check. All the, look him out there. God raise somebody up. Change somebody's heart, God. Give us somebody. Prayer is very powerful. Right now, we don't see any hope, maybe. But you know what? Prayer can change things overnight. Amen? I mean, come on. You ever watch a horse race? Okay, I didn't say game. Well, I said watch one. Okay. It could be the one horse that no one even knows the name yet. Come out of the blue and win. Well, where do you come from? That same way here. Somebody can raise up and come out of the blue and wow! If God's people will pray and seek His guidance and pray for them, we'll see which horse He wants to win the race. Not saying the horses we have now aren't. I'm just saying we don't know. But we just need to pray. Amen? Amen. Thank you. You need to give that dollar back to him, okay?
He's got his wallet.
I said it should be 1,000.
So,
you said 1,000.
It should be 1,000, yes, I know. But yeah. So, again, as I close with this, listen. The time is coming for the delusion to take place. And right now, you look at some of the stuff going on. How can they believe this? Some of the stuff we hear anymore. About Islam or Christianity or anything. You look at it, and those of you who are children, like those who are born again, you look at some stuff in the world, I don't understand. How can people get sucked in and believe this? Well, the Bible says this will take place. Right, Kathy? A delusion will take place. Now, for us, as born again Christians, with the light of the Lord in us, we're going to recognize these things, and we're going to say, okay, these are some of the things the Master showed us that will take place before He comes back. So please, today, whew, if you've been holding back on the Master, if some things you just won't surrender to Him today, everything. Get off the fence completely. Don't be part of that delusion to get sucked into that. Because God, He wants you with Him forever in heaven. But He's got work for us to do here before He comes back for us. And maybe you're here today and you've heard the Word of God many times, but you just never ever accepted His forgiveness for your sins. I invite you today after the service to come and see me. We'll sit down one-on-one and we'll talk, and I'll tell you how awesome it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to try to sell you a bill of goods. Most people, they want Christ in order to stay out of hell. But we need Christ, first of all, to stay out of sin. And then we'll stay out of hell. Amen? So please, if you have any questions today about eternity, being born again, sometimes the Bible says saved. If you have questions at all about that, please, don't leave the day without having them answered. Because we don't know when He's coming back. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is awesome. Well, you want to stand for the blessing? And if you can't stand, just raise your heart up. Okay? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. And may He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may you be strengthened and walk in the victory that Christ brought us from the cross. May the Holy Spirit continue to encourage you. And may His blessing be extended upon you, upon your household, and upon your children's, 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 children. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Mm. Are we blessed?
I am blessed.
Are you blessed? Amen.
I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed.
When I wake up in the morning,
or lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed.
God bless you. Have a great week. Hang around, bite to eat. And we have donuts back here to take home, too.